Very excited for this Wednesday show. I could do a three-hour show today. So much to talk about. We're not going to do a three-hour show, though.
You should.
Oh, we have a video show to do at noon, so we can.
I'm hanging in for the first hour. After that,
first hour. All right. We're usually about 55 minutes these days, so just give me that, Al. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 23rd. It's Grade the Trade Day, a.k.a. Clear the Inbox Day, because that's 90% of what we get now, Grade the Trade. So we'll do a bunch of those. Make sure you watch our video show live at noon Eastern. We'll be joined by John Heyman. We'll have the latest on Chris Sale. Albert Pujols hit his 499th and 500 home runs. You know that. I want to talk about Cespedes, Zobrist, Worryometer, and Scott White, what he did this morning in the car. That I just didn't really take it for that kind of guy.
You didn't take me as a sing in the car kind of guy?
Absolutely not. Did you?
Yeah, because you said it before, I think. I just figure everybody sings in the car.
Everybody sings in the car.
Yeah.
1,000%.
But then that's why you smiled when I talked about what I heard on the radio in the car.
You both shared car stories this morning. I listened to the news, but so I didn't sing that. But what did you sing, Scott?
I was singing a mix of things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like a mashup?
There was a little bit of the White Stripes, a little Herman's Hermits.
Boom. Boom, boom,
wow!
Boom.
Eclectic,
like a little Bubba Sparks. Yeah, it was all over the place.
Who's Bubba Sparks?
You know who Bubba Sparks is?
Do you?
Yes.
Who's Bubba Sparks?
He's this white rapper from Georgia.
I didn't know that.
You remember the college football, the college game day theme when we were in college? It was back in the mud again, and I confess.
No, I don't think
you don't remember that.
I'll remember that.
Wasn't bad. Scott White. I don't remember that. No,
yeah.
I'll look it up. All right, let's get to it. Here, we got a lot to go through. Here's a trivia question: Matt Adams, batting 346. Where do you think he ranks among first basemen right now? Same in points and roto.
Oh, I'll say fourth.
I'm going to go lower than that. I'm going to go 14th.
Taking a gander at the strikeout to walk ratio. Scott's probably closer.
How about 28th?
Whoa.
He's batting 346, but he has only one home run and five RBI. Kind of weird.
The lack of home runs is what I figured would put him back. And that was it's really weird because I thought he would be I thought home runs, like, that was the one thing I could trust he would excel at, and maybe he'd suffer with batting average and strikeouts. And actually, the strikeout rate hasn't been that bad. But he's been hitting doubles. He's been making contact in general. I still think, ultimately, he's going to be more who I initially thought he was, but at least he's not killing you right now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Eight doubles. You got look. I mean, a guy's 28th right now. He could have one big game and be top 15. So keep that in mind. The points are sort of bunched up right now.
So I'm sorry. I'm just kind of hung up on Herman's Hermits here. So was it?
Woke up this morning feeling fine. That one, right?
I was guessing it was that one.
No, it was actually. I'm not sure on the title. It was Mrs. Brown. You've got a lovely daughter.
Oh yeah.
No, I only know one Herman's.
Well, now you know two.
Oh, you don't know Henry the Eighth.
I guess.
Everybody knows Henry the Eighth.
I guess I do.
I'm Henry.
Now you know Henry.
I'm Henry the Eighth. I am.
Yeah, I do know that song. I know it's a Herman's Hermit song.
Okay, well, I feel better now.
Music education here.
Go on to stat of the day.
Stat of the day number one: Albert Pujols became the first player to hit home runs 499 and 500 in the same game. He is the third youngest player to reach 500 home runs. Alex Rodriguez and Jimmy Fox did it at age 32. Pujols is 34. He is batting .274 with 8 home runs and 19 RBI, 7 walks, 8 strikeouts, 5 doubles. Remember, Pujols' slugging percentage has dropped 4 straight seasons, down to .437 last year, obviously injury-related. .516 slugging in 2012. Anyway, he's the number one hitter in fantasy in points, number 4 in roto behind Blackman, Stanton, and Alexi Ramirez. Albert Pujols,
what a group.
Are we moving him up in the first base rankings, or have you already?
I think I have some, but I certainly need to move him more. I think I can take him off my bust list now, too.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I know I had him a lot higher to begin with than Al did, so I'm still not inclined to move him ahead of the group I have him behind, which includes Freddie Freeman, who's off to a great start. Prince Fielder, who, I mean, we know how good he is. Chris Davis, Miguel Cabrera, probably forgetting a couple others, but it's
Votto, Goldschmidt, E5.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess some could argue. I guess you could make an argument to move him ahead of Fielder or E5, but I just haven't lost enough faith in those two to move them behind Pujols. That's really more what it's about for me. Not that he doesn't belong in the same group.
What about Chris Davis? Like, you feel like there's a chance he's going to be better? I mean, the chance is such a wimpy way to say it. Do you feel like he might be better than Chris Davis by year's end?
Oh, I think there's definitely a possibility, but I would still, I mean, Chris Davis hasn't been like a disaster yet, and he hasn't done the one thing, kind of like Adams, he hasn't done the one thing we knew he was going to do, which is hit home runs. He's
right.
Still the player I trust, the one player in the majors who I expect to hit at least 40 home runs.
Okay, Al, Pujols is 12th for you. Adrian Gonzalez.
He won't be for long.
You're going to move him ahead of Gonzalez.
I'm going to move him up, I think. I'm looking at my points rankings. Move him up to 7th there.
Ahead of Freeman?
Ahead of Freeman. And
similarly. And Hosmer and Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, similarly in Roto.
Fair enough. Let's go to the quote of the day. It comes from Bo Porter, the manager of the Houston Astros. This is what he said about Colin McHugh before the start. Quote, pitch to contact guy. End quote. And then McHugh went out and struck out 12 in 6 2/3 scoreless innings at Seattle. 3 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. His first start of the season. It was ridiculous. Seattle is just really slumping right now. Meanwhile, Franklin Morales had a very good start with 7 strikeouts against San Francisco. So these two guys are owned in less than 10% of leagues. Are either of them worth owning in more than 10% of leagues?
Morales, maybe. I'm still waiting to see what he can string together the next few starts. But yeah, I think McHugh, this might be kind of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. But I do wish Bo Porter would say of George Springer, he's a slow, punch-and-Judy hitter kind of guy.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
the little piece reverse mojo there.
Yeah.
Morales is a sparp. I think that's worth pointing out. And he's always had good stuff. So,
piece of equipment of the day is the protective cup worn by David Price, which withstood a Joe Mauer line drive. So very thankful for that. I'm sure David Price is. I'm less invested in that, but David Price is probably very thankful. Yesterday's standouts, who do you guys want to talk about? I want to kick it off with Yoenis Cespedes, who is slugging 500. For some reason, he's the number 18 outfielder in points leagues, a number 35 in Roto right now. Not a great batting average, 250, no steals, so that might hurt him in Roto. But I think he's, you know, off to an encouraging start with 4 home runs and 14 runs batted in.
I'd say it's about what I expected. I mean, I think there's room for him to hit for a higher average like he did 2 years ago, but I figure he's going to slug. 500 is maybe a little bit higher than I expected, but I don't know. He's on course.
All right, so not a total bust like last year.
Not looking that way.
Okay, then. What else you guys want to talk about from yesterday?
The thing that stood out to me was something much lower end, which is Mike Olt. With a home run and just more significant than that, back-to-back starts, and he's going to be in a lineup again today being Wednesday. So looks like Rich Renteria is going to just ease him into more regular playing time.
He's got 4 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible batting average, but power's there. Okay.
Yeah, and you can't really expect too much more than that, but I think we've talked about we're a little disappointed in the playing time so far. But
yeah, and he's hitting under 200 now. I don't expect a good batting average, but more if he does play more regularly, that obviously helps with consistency and everything like that. I think the most notable thing that happened yesterday, Adam,
yes.
I don't even see on the first page of your notes here.
Oh.
Luke Gregerson blew another save.
Yeah. I'm getting so sick and tired of talking about the A's bullpen. But yes, Luke Gregerson did blow a save.
He's only 3 for 5 since taking over as the Athletics closer, which is not good by anyone's estimation. And we've said before, Johnson unscored upon since being removed from the role. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if their next save opportunity, he was the one to come in. I don't know for sure what Bob Melvin is thinking. I had to think their manager's name for a minute, but
that's okay. I'm still not sure if it's Rick or Rich Renteria. So
if I was in Bob Melvin's shoes,
it used to be Rich, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
If I was in Bob Melvin's shoes, this would be the excuse I needed to go back.
Yeah. He wasn't great his last time out, Jim Johnson, though. Right? Or maybe it was two times ago, whatever.
Gregerson hasn't been great.
Gregerson's been pretty darn good. He's
got 3 out of 5.
He just blew his save, but his ERA is like low threes. It's basically three. It's like 3.05. He's been a lot better than Jim Johnson. I agree with you that if they are looking for an excuse to get Jim Johnson back out there, this is it. And Doolittle hasn't been great lately either, but Gregerson has clearly been better than Jim Johnson.
Two blown saves and 5 opportunities.
Yeah, but
you
yesterday it was one blown save and 4 opportunities. You know, like,
well, yeah.
I agree. It's not like he's running away with it. But he's been better than Jim Johnson.
I agree with you. What I meant to say is I agree with both of you. I agree.
We pretty much agree, I think, Scott and I. we have a slight difference.
I was going to say, it almost sounds like an argument, but you're both making good points, which is that, yeah, Gregerson, there's not maybe a lot of difference between three out of five and 4 out of 5, you know, but, and I think on the whole, he has been better, or at least showing a higher level of skill. That said, it's the excuse the A's need to do what I think they're intending to do anyway.
Right, right.
And for fantasy, that's really what matters.
I think all the starting pitchers, we could pretty much talk. There were some great performances yesterday. Bumgarner, Cueto, Tanaka, Wainwright, Verlander, Shields, Alex Wood, Jose Fernandez, David Price, Yovani Gallardo. We'll get to that a little bit later. I think we got to talk about Danny Salazar. We'll get to him in the worryometer.
Do we really have to?
Yeah, man, it's getting pretty scary. Let me just throw out Jason Hamill. Are you guys buying this from Jason Hamill?
Nope.
I mean, it's what is it, 4 starts now like this? I tried to find some reason to give him the benefit of the doubt, looking if he changed his arsenal at all, if hitters were making a different kind of contact off him. The only thing that's changed is he's throwing strikes consistently. But even in his good year, he didn't do that. He's still giving up a ton of home runs. I just don't see how it can last.
All right, so let's go to the injuries, news, and notes, part one. Yesterday we spelled doom for Chris Sale, sort of. I think we said very unlikely he'd be back in 15 days, but the White Sox seem to think there's a chance. So, again, Heyman will come on our video show later today, give us an update. Not much we can say at this point. Carlos Gomez suspended 3 games for going crazy. Martin Maldonado suspended 3 games. Travis Snyder 2 games. Russell Martin 1 game. And Maldonado, the only player who won't appeal. So Gomez got off pretty light, well, you know, in my opinion, but good news for fantasy owners.
You know what? Who got off light, I thought? Garrett Cole. Didn't get any kind of suspension.
Did he throw any punches?
No, but I feel like he was the instigator of the whole thing.
Yeah, the problem is if you're going to suspend him, you got to suspend him for 5 games. And I think that'd be a little extreme for not doing anything. Because if you suspend a starting pitcher for less than that, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter, but it sets a precedent that what he did was wrong.
What he did was wrong, but I don't think it was suspension worthy. All he did was yell. I don't even know how much
he yelled. Okay. I guess I see your point, but...
Because I could have suspended
you
and Al
didn't say anything,
after yesterday's like, podcast.
For 5 podcasts?
Yeah. Like, he caused the benches to empty. I mean,
I'm going
to
put more
Gomez
on Gomez.
Didn't do anything. What
Gomez
did he do?
Escalated it a little bit
what
too much.
What did he do?
He went nuts.
Guys ran out off the bench.
It could have been some barking between the two of them, and that was it. Gomez lost it.
Yeah.
And Maldonado, by the way, 5 games. I know.
What did I say?
3.
Oh, sorry.
I guess I don't have a right to say so because I didn't actually. Well, I did see
you
it.
You saw it on replay.
I did see it. Yeah.
Never mind. I thought Gomez went a little bad.
I'm basing it a lot on the written accounts I've read of the incident.
I think the bench is cleared because Gomez was being held back by the third base coach. No, by the third baseman, I think. He was being held back by a pirate. Okay, anyway.
That's a good image.
Adam Wainwright hyperextended his knee. He seems to think he's fine. He said, quote, "My ACL, MCL, UCL, all those LCLs, QCLs, all the CLs are good." That was in the STLtoday.com. Surgery recommended for Ivan Nova. He has not decided yet, but looks likely for Tommy John. And Vidal Nuno is the number 5 starting pitcher right now. He'll throw on Saturday.
You think Nova will send out a picture from his hospital bed?
Giving everybody the finger?
Yeah.
No, I think the other New York team does shenanigans like that, Al. Shane Victorino should be activated today. Will Middlebrooks could be back this weekend. Shin-Soo Choo likely out until the weekend at least. He has an ankle injury, no high ankle sprain. That was good news. Adam Eaton hoping to return today. I am so glad I didn't start Mike Minor this week because he is not starting this week. He's making a rehab start on Friday, will not pitch in the big leagues this week. D. Gordon left yesterday's game, does not have a concussion, so that's good news. And Al, on the video show, you said Dayan Vicieto was the most underowned hitter. He's owned in 28% of leagues. He went 4-for-4 with a double last night, 10 for his last 16 with a home run and 5 RBI. Do you think he can produce 255, 25 homers, 78 RBIs like he did in 2012?
I think he can. I expect higher batting average. If you ask me to bet on the 25 home runs, I'd probably take the under. But he's capable. He showed it.
Why do you think higher batting average? Because he hasn't done it in the majors before. He was like a 280-ish hitter in the minors, which, I mean, you'd expect him to kill the minors.
I thought he had a season.
He did have a season where he hit like 290, but
okay, well
overall.
Then, yeah, but the 290 does show the potential. I think the 255 is more of the downside.
I don't know. I'm not
regular at bats.
I'm not sold on him. Because even that season, 255, 25 home runs, okay. I mean, he was probably like a serviceable fifth outfielder. The peripherals were bad, so bad that he was. I don't remember him being all that great in fantasy.
Well, four strikeouts per every walk, and he only slugged 444.
Go ahead. I'm not disagreeing with Scott on any of that, but being a serviceable fifth outfielder means you should be owned in a lot more than 28% of our leagues.
Okay. Would you take Vicieto or Marcelo Zuna?
Hmm. Yeah, I think Ozuna.
Yeah, me too.
The worryometer is back, everybody.
It's good, good comparison, though.
All right, I did the worryometer with like high draft picked, try draft pick hitters who are off to slow starts, but maybe came out of it yesterday. Hopefully, tens a drop. No, let's go tens a sit. Tens a sit for these guys because you're never dropping them. Miguel Cabrera, 0-10. He homered and doubled last night.
0.
-1.
Okay. Wanted to get that out of the way. Chris Davis, 234, a home run, and 9 RBI, 13 walks, 22 strikeouts. 0-10, 10 to sit.
0.
I'm going to go a little higher than 0. I'll go 3 because, I mean, he hit 240 with an 850-ish OPS in the second half last year, and I was kind of, in the beginning this spring, I was calling him a bust because of that until I saw him fall in a few drafts. So I'm not going to lie, Adam, because we've been trying to negotiate this Ryan Braun deal for 2 weeks now.
That's right.
And yesterday I offered you Chris Davis, Billy Hamilton, and John Lackey.
Right.
For Braun, Jose Abreu, and Drew Smyly, which right. You turned down, which is fine. But part of my incentive is because I kind of just want to get Davis off my roster, you know, in a way that I'm still getting Ryan Braun, still getting a great player, but you kind of want to get rid of Ryan Braun in a head-to-head points league, not Roto where the home runs, you know, obviously he's going to have those. In a head-to-head points league, I kind of want to get rid of Davis.
I feel what you're saying. I don't really want to own Davis. Like, I expect he's going to be awesome at some point, get really hot and hit a bunch of home runs, but that's one of the things about trades. It's like, you can look at rankings and do your analysis. You gotta feel comfortable about it on your team. It's got to be a personal preference thing for sure. And now the deal, I'm just done negotiating with you, Scott. It's Gomez for Braun. As I said in my newest trade offer, I don't feel the need to sweeten the deal.
No, it's a fair offer. You might not feel the need to trade Braun then.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I guess not. If you're not going to give me Gomez for him, then that's fine. All right, how about Edwin Encarnacion? 1-for-5 with a 3-run homer yesterday, his first home run of the year.
I'm going to make him a 2 only because I just do worry about his wrist and maybe that the power outage is somehow connected to that. But really, if you look at his numbers, there's really no cause for concern. He's hitting fly balls. He's not, you know, popping up a lot. He's not striking out.
He has a ton of doubles.
He is striking
he
out, though. For him.
Yeah, that's
nine
the
walks,
thing.
21
that's,
strikeouts.
Right, that's why. I put it as a 2-2 because he's shouldn't be. He's kind of like Pujols in that he doesn't he's a power hitter, but he doesn't strike out much at all, and he has been striking out.
Yeah, you're right. For him, I still think it's within the range of possibilities when you're talking about less than 100 bats.
Right.
Yeah, it's not alarming to me.
It's him, Brad Miller, and Matt Carpenter have alarming – you just used the word not alarming. Just they're on an alarming pace right now. But there's really nothing I can attribute it to except just early season weirdness.
I'll give you another guy, I think, unless it's evened out. No, it's evened out. I was going to say Matt Holliday, but he's back to 11 walks, 13 strikeouts.
It's an example of what can happen then.
Yeah. All right, Robinson Cano, 282 with a home run and 8 RBIs so far.
I am probably at a 2 with him also. If I would treat his trade value exactly the same as I would have if it was opening day, but... because the whole going to Seattle thing, I don't put it as strict 0.
Yeah, 1 for me.
Alex Rios, top 26 outfielder, but not exactly killing it with only 1 home run so far, 4 steals and 7 attempts. Alex Rios, Al.
Yeah, also a 1 and not a 0 because he's been thrown out 3 times already. I think that's the thing that worries me the most because I'm counting on him for 30-plus steals to hold the value of a number 1 outfielder. And if he continues to be that inefficient, then I'd have to take the under on 30 steals. But I think the power's going to come, and he's already hitting for average.
You said he's the number 26 outfielder, number 22 in points
in Roto? 26, Roto 22.
That's about where I ranked him coming into the year. I was lower than Al, so I guess it should be pretty low. I'll say 3.
Okay. Hunter Pence. He hit his second home run last night at Colorado, but he's batting .213. 0-10 on Pence.
A 0.
I'll say 1, just because he's getting older, but he's... you don't know exactly where the batting average is going to be, but I feel like you can trust everything else.
John Lester was destroyed last night by the Yankees. A lot of bad luck early. Really, a lot of balls that fell in or just out of the reach of someone, but at the end of the day, still 4 2/3, 11 hits, 8 runs, 3 earned, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts. John Lester, 0-10. 10's a sit.
At this point, I'm down to 0. I think just sort of as a default in the past, I probably had him at least a 3 or 4 last 2 years or so. But prior to this start, he looked like prime John Lester.
No more than 2 earned runs and no fewer than 6 2/3 innings in his first 4 starts.
Yeah.
And the strikeout rate's up.
Yep. So it looks like the Lester of old. I'm buying in. Nice. The start doesn't change it.
All right, then, let's go back to the drop worryometer, where 0 to 10, 10 is a drop for these last two. Danny Salazar, 4 1/3, 4 runs, 7 hits against the Royals with 6 strikeouts. Got a 7.85 ERA. 0 to 10.
All right, well, not even thinking of dropping Salazar, but on the verge of benching. So I'll say, a 6 for Salazar. And the thought that crossed my mind, and I hesitate to say this after my extreme speculation on Desmond a month into the future yesterday, but we've been talking about, when does Trevor Bauer come up, and Carrasco was the obvious guy. I think Salazar is in that conversation, so I want to be really careful what I'm saying. I'm not saying I think he's on the verge of being sent down, but the thought even enters my mind that a few weeks down the road, Salazar doesn't get better.
Sure.
Why shouldn't it be him instead of Carrasco?
I buy that more than the Desmond thing because he is unproven, and they need to get him right.
Yep.
And sending him to the minors might be the best way to do that.
It worked for Ivan Nova last year.
Yeah. Did you mention Salazar didn't allow a hit until the 4th inning in yesterday's game?
No, but that's happened with him in the last game.
Right, that's exactly right. And that's...
I just to clarify, I don't know if it was that he didn't allow a hit, but he was lights out, and then it all fell apart.
Right, and that's interesting because there was such a strict limit on his innings last year in both the majors and the minors, more than probably I remember seeing for a starting pitcher, and now that limit's not there, and he's having trouble extending himself, so that's... I go 7 on him.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got to sit him at this point, right? I mean.
Yeah, definitely. He's with Ubaldo. I'm sitting him until he turns it around.
And finally, this is another guy, just like Salazar, where it's all falling apart late. R.A. Dickey, He's got a 5.90 ERA. It was a quality start yesterday, but, you know, it wasn't great, and he left the bases loaded in the sixth inning, I believe, so it could have been a lot worse. But Dickey, last three starts, a shutout through four innings, a shutout through four innings, a shutout through five innings, and then all of a sudden it's just terrible for R.A. Dickey. So where are you on Dickey? 0 to 10, 10's a drop.
I'm at 7. Again, not that close to dropping him, but already benching him.
I'm about 9. I moved him way down in my rankings yesterday. I have a hard time believing I would drop him, but in shallower leagues, I don't think I'd be dead set against it.
Let's look at some good pitchers now for a change. Ridiculously good pitching performances from yesterday's games. There were a lot of them. Madison Bumgarner threw a complete game, 8-inning loss. 8 innings, 9 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 Ks at Colorado. His first great start of the year. Masahiro Tanaka, awesome stat.
Did not get 8 strikeouts.
No, he got 7. Here's an awesome stat that I read in the New York Post from Joel Sherman that apparently was also on MLB Network. Mike Napoli doubled on a 2-2 pitch in the sixth inning Tuesday. The previous 45 batters to reach 2 strikes against Tanaka were 0 for 43 with 2 walks and 24 strikeouts. 0 for 43.
Reached 2 strikes. That's any count.
Yep.
Just 2 strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could hit him. That's
He's got 2 walks and 35 strikeouts in 29 and a third. Adam Wainwright, 7 scoreless, only 3 Ks. Again, hyperextended knee, thinks he's fine. All his LCLs are good. All his CLs are good. Johnny Cueto, complete game, 3-hitter, 1 run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Justin Verlander, 7 strikeouts in 7 innings, 2 runs, and 22 strikeouts in his last 3 starts.
I had a weird dream last night that I was in charge of the Tigers, and I decided to dismantle the whole team except for Verlander and Cabrera, and I was really sad about it.
How'd that go?
Not well.
You got to get rid of that Cabrera contract. Terrible contract. James Shields, 6 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts, 1 earned run. 21 strikeouts in his last 2 starts, so he's striking a lot of people out. Alex Wood is like an ace right now. 8 mm-hmm. innings, 1 run, no walks, 11 Ks against the Marlins.
He's like a bad luck ace, 2-3, even though he's allowed more than 1 earned run once, and it was 2 earned runs that
And he's
time.
Got 35 strikeouts in 35 innings. Jose Fernandez was Jose Fernandez, 14 Ks in 8 innings, no runs. David Price, complete game,
yeah,
12 strikeouts. And Yovani Gallardo, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. He's 2-0 with a 1.42 ERA. We can't talk about all of them, so cherry pick a little here.
I'll pick Gallardo because I just wrote a blog post about him yesterday and got a tip from one of my Twitter followers. Or actually, I don't know if it's a follower. Somebody on Twitter. And I don't have the handle handy.
Oh.
But he wrote was, when you get down to researching Gallardo, look at Jonathan Lucroy's framing stats. And, boy, that was a great tip.
Really?
Because Lucroy, the last few years, has been one of the best pitchers at getting balls that show up in the outside of the strike zone to be called as strikes.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a great, great tidbit there. And,
But at the same time, it's not like Gallardo's changed teams. Lucroy's been his catcher the last 4 years.
Right. No, Lucroy hasn't changed, but Gallardo has, because he's not getting swings and misses anymore, so he's relying more on those framing skills. Or at least, I mean, we could speculate on it. You'd have to do a lot more research to really nail that one down.
But he's still,
looking,
either way you look at
like
it, Gallardo's worse theory. Than he used to be.
Worse than he used to be, but not paying. Because after every start, what do I say? How is he performing this well when he's not getting swings and misses and when he's not doesn't have particularly good control? And I think that's a really plausible explanation.
Okay, except the control was as bad as always last year. So, like, I could understand if he just joined Lucroy from another team with a catcher who didn't frame pitch as well last year. But otherwise, I see him as the guy he was last year, and that's not particularly valuable.
Wasn't he hurt last year?
He had a hamstring issue early in the season.
So last year was just a pretty bad year. I mean, he was a really good pitcher before that.
But it was because of the strikeouts. Which he doesn't get now.
And right.
Okay.
LaCroix was his catcher those years, too.
But is his walk rate's a lot better than you would think it would be. And the strikeout rate, for as low as the swing and miss rate is, it's not what it used to be. It's not especially good. But it's not, you know, Tyler Chatwood, Henderson Alvarez either. It's better than you might think.
Top blank starting pitcher, Yovani Gallardo.
I still say like 70.
So,
but
thank you for taking us down that trail, then.
No,
come on. I mean, you know, not everybody plays in a 10 or 12 team mixed league. So
yeah, but we never had him lower than that, did we?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay.
Late last year and probably earlier this year. And I should look. Maybe I still do. Maybe I need to adjust him because this is a new revelation for me with Gallardo.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Give him 76th.
Where do I have
him? So I need to move him up
67th.
Six slots.
67th.
Yeah. And I still don't really like him that much. I don't see 67 as a victory.
Anyone else to highlight here? Who's a sell high guy? Alex Wood?
I don't see anybody as a sell high guy. I could see Bumgarner as a buy low guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Because you said it was his first great start. He gave him nine hits still, and that's been an issue for him this year. 11.9 hits per nine compared to 6.5 per nine last year.
Wow.
Even though, the stuff is the same. You know, it's not like he's been wild. It just strikes me as another early season anomaly, and that he's the exact same pitcher.
I'm sorry, I know we got to go quick here, but just on the framing thing again, example of a pitcher or a pitcher who did get a new catcher and has seen a big change, Zach Wheeler.
Okay.
Yeah, not as wild as we thought, right?
I guess not, but...
It changed after Darnot started catching him.
We need some better secondary stuff from Mr. Zach Wheeler. I said this on the video show yesterday, but on the Braves broadcast, I believe over the weekend, if that's who they were playing, I never remember, the Braves announcer... Or the visiting team's announcer said.
It was the Braves.
Okay. Zach Wheeler's changeup is like 90 miles per hour, and that's why it's not effective right now. So, seems kind of correctable.
What day was that?
Sunday.
Yeah, it was the Braves.
Yeah. All right, here's a new little thing called food for thought. Sometimes when I'm going over the box scores, I see things, I think about them, I never find a good place to put them in the notes. So here's a new category, new section of the show, food for thought. Troy Tulowitzki. Would he be the number three pick in your fantasy drafts if I can guarantee you 150 games?
Number one pick?
Number three pick.
Oh, yes. For me, he would. I've always valued what he does at that scarce position.
I would have to say yes, too.
Okay. He is so good.
He is.
In my opinion, like so much better than Hanley Ramirez. Clearly better than Hanley Ramirez.
Better guy. I wouldn't say so much.
You guys both had him number one at the shortstop position, so good job. Scooter Jeanette, if he stops platooning, do you think he'd be a good fantasy option?
Good is overstating
it.
Middle infield option?
He could be Infante-like.
Okay.
Yeah, I the great comparison, yeah.
Hosmil Pinto, will he lose his value when Josh Willingham comes back?
I think he most certainly will, at least temporarily.
No, I was willing to move him up, I think, to 18th in my catcher rankings yesterday. And look, there's obviously a chance to lose some at bats, but they have enough moving parts. And I mean, obviously Pinto can play catcher. He's probably going to at least twice a week, that I think he'll get enough at bats to remain useful in the 24 in the two catcher leagues.
Rajay Davis, is he a must start if he continues to bat leadoff? And he's only owned in 49% of leagues.
I'd say no, and I just talk about moving parts. I don't trust him to play every day, and that's less important for him than for a lot of other players. But we saw J.D. Martinez start last night, but that was Davis starting center instead of Austin Jackson. But I think that there could be a little bit of a rotation there.
I mean, even if he does play every day, must start, I just don't think he's good enough for that. I would, among speedsters, I would still prefer like Eric Young, Ben Revere.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
So I'll just make the case that if he bats leadoff, he's in a much better lineup than Eric Young. He's going to steal
or Ben Revere, I think.
Yeah, but certainly than Young. He's going to steal more bases than both of them.
I don't know that I agree with that.
You don't think so? I think he's the best.
Has he even
other
been...
than Billy Hamilton? I think he's the best base stealer in the game.
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with that.
Showed it last year.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I'm trying to think. He's definitely in the conversation.
He's always like a 40, 45 steal guy, but he's not pushing 60.
Well, because has he ever played enough?
He has before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not recently, but I don't know that increased at bats would change that because he was just in a position as in the role he had that like that was his role, the team base stealer. Like, okay. He'd come in and he'd steal a base. So I don't know that extra bats would change that, really.
All right. And finally, how long before Danny Duffy is in the Kansas City rotation?
As long as it takes Bruce Chen to work his way out of it. So I could see it like late May.
Okay. I just feel like it's speculation in a deep league.
It is speculation, yeah.
Worth considering.
When I did projections for Bruce Chen, even after knowing he had won the spot, and he won it kind of in the middle of spring training, I think I built in only like 15 starts for him because it's just, you know, they have some depth there, and he's Bruce Chen.
Yeah. If I was ranking relievers that I had some hope of becoming starting pitchers and impacting in fantasy right now, I would go Drew Pomeranz, Tyler Thornburg, Danny Duffy.
All right. Good to know. Grade the trade, part one. From Tom in Toronto. I traded Edwin Encarnacion for Johnny Cueto. Thank you, Scott White. In bold.
You're welcome.
I don't get that.
Because I am continually tooting Edwin Encarnacion's horn. So he's thanking me that I keep his value high so that he could get Johnny Cueto, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but that's a terrible trade.
I think it is, too. Clearly, Tom doesn't think so. I would still prefer to be on the Encarnacion side, and frankly, I would expect to give up more than just Cueto for it.
It's going D?
D.
Yep. Yeah, so D. I will say I see it as more of a buy low than a sell high. I do think Cueto's good, but it's a little bit of both.
All right, from Ryan, grade the trade, 10-team mixed roto league. I give Irvin Santana and Mark Burley. I get Homer Bailey.
That is a B-.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking over what I said. I was thinking of that from the guy getting Encarnacion's perspective.
It doesn't matter. Graded it.
All right.
Nothing he can do.
Paper's
now.
Been returned.
It's on the fridge.
Bad job, Tom. Okay. Anyway, Ryan. Give Santana and Burley, get Homer Bailey. I think that is a B-.
John says, dear left, right, and center. I don't get it. I can afford to get
I don't have the range to play center.
Oh, I know. He's got good starting pitching, needs outfield help. I give up Samardzija, I get Nelson Cruz.
That's given the needs, that's a C+.
Okay.
I like it need aside. I'll give it a B.
Here is
I read that backwards again. Sorry, C-.
You'd rather have Samardzija?
Yes, I'd rather have Samardzija.
Simon in London. I just don't think I can do the British accent, Simon. I'm sorry. He says, insert British accent here. I just not feeling it today. Ryan Hardy, Joe Carroll, and Mike Weston. Who are they? I have no idea. 12-team 5x5 roto
league.
If we
lived in London, we would.
I'll look it up. So 12-team 5x5 roto. I've got Hanley, Bonifacio, Phillips, and Walker at second base and shortstop. I need an outfielder. I give Daniel Murphy. I get Hunter Pence.
That's an A-.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'll go A.
Cheerio. All right. Here's grade the trade from Sam in Aurora, Illinois. He says, good morning, Willie Mays, Hayes, Rick Vaughn, and Jake Taylor. You guys better know that.
That's Field of Dreams, right?
Very good. No, it's Major League, but I think you were kidding.
I was.
12-team Roto Keeper League. I give Hunter Pence. I get Ryan Braun.
Ooh.
Yeah, if you were asking for Hunter Pence from me, Adam, instead of Carlos Gomez, we would have made that deal by now.
I wouldn't have done that.
So I'll give that an A-.
I'm giving that a C+. I like Pence better than Scott does, and I'm have enough concern about the thumb, but it's still a win.
Do you like Pence better than Carlos Gomez?
I do.
So you would have made that trade by now.
The Gomez?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
From Jeff, I get Carlos Beltran. I give Mike Minor.
Not feeling that, Jeff. Not feeling it. I'm going
D+ for me.
D+, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
From Evan from Canada, 10-team Roto Keeper League with holds, quality starts instead of wins.
Why do you wait all that time for Minor and trade him now when he's about to come back?
Yeah.
Why do you do that, Jeff?
I traded Carlos Martinez for Danny Salazar. It's a keeper league with holds and quality starts instead of wins. Gave up Carlos Martinez, got Danny Salazar.
I mean, Salazar still has potential. He's just not showing it right now. We saw it last fall. So I think that's still a C-plus trade.
Yeah, C-plus. I mean, keeper considerations you're factoring in here. Yeah.
From Matt in Tennessee, 17-team, 5-outfielder Roto League. Woo! I have solidified my pitching staff, Lee, Wainwright, Scherzer, but I need offense. I give up Springer. This is remember, 17-team, 5-outfielder Roto League. Springer, Scott Feldman, and Marcus Semien. I get B.J. Upton, Yonhervis Solarte, and Cole Calhoun.
Ooh. That's a D.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Can't do it.
There's just not a good enough individual player to give up Springer, deep as the league may be. So I agree, D.
All right, we'll do a little bit more grading the trade in a bit. Let's go quickly here through four up and two down. Four up number one is Jason Castro. He had his fourth home run last night. Anything to say about him?
Yeah, he's heating up. In fact, looks like you've got, splits here. I'm sorry, I have a little problem reading what
he's hitting
got
213
here.
With four home runs and 9 RBIs.
Oh, I see, after what he did last year.
Last year, 276, 18 home runs.
See, I was wishing to see the last 7-day split or something in there.
Sorry.
I was imagining it. So it's better than the full season split. He's heating up. He's fine. He's still a number one catcher.
I'd rather have Mesoraco, though. I've made that official in my rankings.
Ben Revere went 4-for-5 with a run scored and a steal. He's batting 300 with 319 and 329 with 6 steals. And he has never hit a home run, ever.
I think he has the record for most at-bats or plate appearances to start a career without a homer. I'm pretty sure.
It's insane.
Yeah.
He's owned 49% of leagues, same as Rajay Davis. You, Scott, said you prefer Ben Revere. Al, how about you?
Yes, I do too.
All right. Mike Moustakas, 58% owned. Last 7 games, 5-for-25, 3 homers, 8 RBI, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. So he's only hitting 200, but he hit his third home run in his last 7 yesterday. And I was toying with the idea of dropping Headley for Moustakas, but if I did, I knew I wouldn't get Headley back. It's a deep league. I didn't do it. And I woke up this morning and I saw Headley hit a home run in extra innings, and I felt a little happier. But I'm worried about Headley because of the knee.
Yeah.
And Moustakas, maybe I don't want to pass judgment on him too early.
No, you don't. Especially since he's really hardly striking out at all. That's as much contact as he's making. If he's really gotten better at hitting the ball the other way, feel like he has to turn it around. I think I did say yesterday or sometime recently on the podcast that I'm not ready to move Nolan Arenado ahead of Moustakas. Arenado homered yesterday also.
Yeah.
And that was his fourth home run of the year. And that was the more notable home run to me because just looking at the numbers again, I reminded myself that my biggest concern with Arenado was power, if he'd have enough. And 4 home runs already, starting to believe he will. So next time I update my rankings, he is going ahead of Moustakas.
All right, we'll move on. Ben Zobrist, off to a really good start. Top 5 shortstop, top 8 second baseman, but 5th in points. And typically, better in points, so he's been Ben Zobrist. But I just thought I'd bring that up because, it looked like this might be a player in decline. Are you encouraged, guys, by Ben Zobrist's start?
I am, and I made the exact same observation looking at box scores and stats this morning. Whew.
So glad I left him off my busts list. It was one of the last cuts.
Good. Two down, Salvador Perez, 0 for his last 22. Anyone concerned?
No, but he's about the last person I would expect to have that kind of slump.
Yeah.
Buy low?
I'd buy low on pretty much the whole Royals lineup.
Yeah, would you sell Mesoraco for Perez?
Yes.
Al?
Yes, I would.
All right, and Martin Prado, do you consider him a buy-low candidate?
I do.
Yeah, anytime he's not hitting, I consider Martin Prado a buy-low.
Because he'll hit.
Even last year, he hit 240 most of the first half and ended up fine. Hit 350 in the second half. So
he was the Matt Cain of hitters, right, last year?
Yeah.
Bad first half and then predictably rebounded in the second half.
Yeah, I could see that comparison. Yeah.
By the way, I just pulled up a spray chart for Moustakas. Gives a little graphical representation.
Great.
And the hitting the other way thing does not look like it's taken.
Well, it's there's
there's a few little dots there.
Well, I mean, he's not going down the left field line, but he has a decent number of hits to straightaway left. Right? Am I reading that right?
you know, look at the hit result.
It doesn't really have that many hits yet.
Yeah, well, balls batted, I assume is what we're looking at.
Yeah, so these are all
I'm looking more at the outfield than the infield. Infield, he's still pulling everything.
Yeah, and outfield, everything he's hitting is an out.
Eh.
Just, you know.
Eh.
But we'll track it.
Oh, you know what? I regret waiting this long to mention Edinson Volquez as we get into the fringy starting pitchers here. I dropped Aaron Harang for Volquez. I feel like I'm convinced in a points league he's valuable. If he's not getting strikeouts, then I could see why you'd be hesitant to add Volquez in a roto league, but I just feel like he's going to get you quality starts, and I like him. I like him.
For the price of Harang, yeah. I have no problem with that.
Right. I wasn't going to drop anyone too good, and I could see myself dropping Volquez. I'm not committing to him, but I'm encouraged. 51% owned. He's got a 193 ERA. The only thing is, I didn't realize Volquez has had one season his entire career with an ERA under 4.
And it was a really, really good season.
It was a great season.
Yeah.
It was Cy Youngish.
It was the season with the Reds, his first season, where they traded Josh Hamilton straight up for him, and you're thinking, ah, that deal worked out for both teams.
Yeah.
Clearly it didn't.
But, yeah. But at the time, it did look that way.
Yeah.
They also got the Rangers breaking up their DVD pitching prospects.
So would you guys rather have Ian Kennedy, Kyle Gibson, Edinson Volquez, Jason Hamill? Rank those four.
All right, say them again.
Ian Kennedy, Kyle Gibson, Jason Hamill, Edinson Volquez.
Kennedy, Volquez, Gibson, Hamill.
Holy cow. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Gibson was horrible
he was.
Last night.
We're talking about like 90 and up starting pitchers here, just for what it's worth. So,
like in the rankings.
Yeah.
Tyler Skaggs, what'd you think of last night's start? Seven innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. At the Nationals.
Good result, but very disappointed because I keep waiting for Skaggs to blow hitters away and you know, have a great strikeout to walk ratio. 5-4 was not a good one. I think the ball strike ratio, if I recall, was not very good. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't get very many whiffs.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I feel like he could be so much better, which is why I'm hanging on every start, but even though the results are pretty good, like the peripherals just aren't winning me over.
And in the bullpen, Josh Fields got a save for Houston. 5 straight scoreless outings, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts for Josh Fields. Worth adding?
I suppose. I mean, given the alternatives, if you can't get Farnsworth, again, who I'm not that excited about, but, you know, better than a lot of the alternatives. I would go for Fields at this point.
Would you drop Gregerson for Fields?
Yeah, I would.
I would not.
Joaquin Soria, 5 saves and 4 straight scoreless outings. That's good.
Yeah.
Jabba Chamberlain got a save for the Tigers, a 1-out save. Joe Nathan had pitched in 2 straight games. Now, this wasn't an immediate save situation. It became one when Phil Koch was terrible.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see Joe Nathan be able to pitch more than 2 straight games.
I think it was more, like you said, the
kind of surprise.
The odd situation of they weren't expecting it to be a safe situation.
And Trevor Rosenthal, I turned as soon as I saw the score, I turned on the game. I wanted to see what he was doing. He was all over the place. I mean, not even close with some of his pitches. He walked 2. A scoreless inning, got the save, struck out 1, but walked 2 Mets. I don't know. I mean, he still throws really hard.
Yeah. It's a little worrisome just because of the Cardinals' recent history under Matheny of not being afraid to pull the plug on a closer who's struggling.
Yeah, well, luckily he's getting the results, just making it a little dicey.
Yep.
And injuries, news, and notes, part 2. Matt Wieters expects to play today. He had a sore forearm. Manny Machado will begin a rehab assignment Friday. David Robertson's off the DL. Doug Fister could be back May 7th. San Diego active in trade discussions regarding catcher Nick Hundley, according to the Union Tribune.
Mm.
And still,
maybe they're about to turn Grandal loose.
Yeah, he still hasn't played in back-to-back games or started back-to-back games.
And I discovered that Rene Rivera's really good at framing pitches.
Is he?
Yeah.
Kevin Kuzminoff left with tightness in his back. Donnie Murphy replaced him. Adrian Beltre back Friday, hopefully. We mentioned Nolan Arenado homered again. He's got a 13-game hitting streak. How about Charlie Blackmon and Corey Dickerson both sat for the lefty with Brandon Barnes and Drew Stubbs starting against San Francisco.
Walt Weiss, board to platoon.
Yeah, and I looked at Barnes' splits against lefties to make sure there wasn't anything I was missing. I mean, he's better against them than righties, but like 296, nothing for a non-power hitter.
Weird.
Justin Morneau did start, though, against the lefty. Michael Kadire was hurt, and he was the one replacing him at first base against lefties, but still, that's a good sign.
Desmond Jennings returned to the lineup, had two hits. Detroit called up J.D. Martinez, as we mentioned. Not worth picking up, right?
L only.
All right. Emilio Bonifacio sat yesterday. Christian Yelich has a 16-game hitting streak. Derek Jeter has an 11-game hitting streak and has reached base in all 15 games he's played, but he's basically the number 25 shortstop in fantasy right now. No power at all. Michael Brantley had two hits and a steal. Tyler Lyons is going to start again this weekend for St. Louis. And John Jay, is he the new center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals?
It looks like he is now, for the time being.
They're right in the hot hand.
Although, Oscar Taveras, when he has played, because now he's dealing with another ankle issue, but he's been playing center field at AAA.
Mm. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he's not taking John Jay out of the lineup, I'll tell you that much. Not on my watch. Grade the Trade Part 2. We got about 3 minutes here, guys. Andrew says, I give Yordano Ventura and Anthony Rendon. I get Alex Gordon. I need a third outfielder since Hamilton went down. I have some depth at second base. So giving up Yordano Ventura and Anthony Rendon for Alex Gordon.
C-minus because I just suspect that you could give up less.
Yeah, me too. C-minus is fine.
Jason from Sonoma, California. Dear Vaughn, Taylor, and Hayes.
Again.
Another Field of Dreams reference. I was offered Matt Holliday for George Springer, and I accepted. Giving up Springer, getting Holliday.
Yeah, you
I
like did it, the right B. thing. You said B, I say A.
From Kelby. Minus. He says, Dear Earth, Wind, and Fire, 12-man head-to-head categories league. I accepted a trade. This is the Charlie Blackmon run. I give up Charlie Blackmon. I get Alan Craig and Taiwan Walker.
Taiwan Walker, exclamation mark, he typed.
Yeah.
That's great.
That deserves exclaiming.
Yeah,
that's an A.
That's an A.
It's not an A plus. That's an A plus.
No, I'll say
I'll go A.
No, it's it. Come on.
We've seen more lopsided trades than this. It's definitely lopsided. I definitely do it, but we've seen worse.
How about this
slash
one?
Better.
No name on this one. I was offered Jason Wirth or Jason Hayward for Charlie Blackmon.
What says you guys?
I says do it. Either one.
Either one.
Pick one.
Preferably Worth. No, Hayward.
Yeah, I knew you were
saying
Hayward.
they're really close, though.
From Ben, 7x7 head. Oh, wait. Do we still have another Charlie Blackmon one? I feel like we do. Yep. From Matthew, I traded away Charlie Blackmon and D. Gordon. I got Troy Tulowitzki. Is that an A+?
That's an A+ gazillion, yeah.
Yeah, that's A+.
Okay. From Ben, 7x7 head-to-head league. Grade the trade. I get James Shields and Sergio Romo. Mm-hmm. I give up Cashner, Addison Reed, and Sergio Santos.
That's a B+.
Great job.
I'll go A-. So, very good, yes.
From Austin, Uncle Leo, Keith Hernandez, and Jay Peterman.
That's friends.
10-team, 23-man rosters, 3 outfielders, head-to-head categories. I give Ryan Braun. Oh, this is a blockbuster. I give Ryan Braun and David Wright. I get Cano, Rios, and Sandoval.
That is a blockbuster.
Giving up Braun and Wright, getting Cano, Rios, and Sandoval.
C+. I like the Cano over Braun. I'd probably rather have Wright than Rios.
Yeah, that's what's hanging me up because Wright's such a good secondary player. He's almost as good as the first player in on both sides. I don't think I could do it. I give it a C-.
From Matthew, I traded away Charlie Blackmon. Oh, I read this one already. I got tricked there. And finally, from Chris, grade the trade. 10-team head-to-head points, standard 3 bench spot, no RP slots. Interesting. Traded Tony Cingrani, Sonny Gray, and Jason Grilli for Homer Bailey and Jared Weaver. Cingrani, Gray, and Grilli for Homer Bailey and Jared Weaver. It's an A.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, Bailey and Weaver are ahead of Cingrani and Gray in your rankings, aren't they?
Not by much, though. It's the right side to be on.
Yeah.
I'll give it a B, though.
B-.
Good job. Thank you for the grade of the trades, and thank you for listening. We're doing more trade stuff on the video show today, so we hope you check that out either live or on demand. call us up on the video show. We're getting a lot of calls lately. They're a lot of fun. We even get calls from, like, little kids who play fantasy baseball, which is cool. I want a woman to call in. All right? Fantasy baseball chick, call in.
We should get Al's wife to call in again.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Talk about our posture.
I was going to say, if we slouch enough, she will.
Okay, thanks, guys. Another podcast tomorrow with Herc. Talk to you then.